Preface. You can stop worrying about retirement. You're about to find your own happily ever after. With Don't Worry, Retire Happy, 7 Steps to Retirement Security, I will give you all of the tools that you will need to live an optimal retirement. Now let's clarify. Optimal does not mean best. No one knows what the best will be. If gold soared to $25,000 per ounce, we would wish we had all had invested in gold. If the Dow Jones hit $100,000 in the next 5 years, we should have all put our money in the Dow 30 stocks. Optimal simply means it's going to be the best more often than anything else will be the best, and it will never be the worst. Math and science always looks for the optimal solution, and we can do just that when it comes to securing a successful retirement. I will lay out the math and science of a successful retirement. I'm not trying to get you to buy a product, and I don't represent any single company. I am simply a speaker and an author who has spent more than 25 years in the financial services industry. I have seen success and I have seen failure. With my help, you can confidently plan to spend your retirement years happy and worry-free. A happy retirement is within your grasp. My Don't Worry, Retire Happy plan and 7 Steps to Retirement Security will put the tools in your hand. See, there was a time in this country when you could retire gracefully, knowing that the company you had worked for had provided for you and your family. But the time of the shiny gold watch and that guaranteed paycheck in the form of a pension is no more. In the early 1980s, over 60% of American workers had a pension plan. By 2011, only 18% were covered by a guaranteed pension plan. This change from employer-sponsored retirement programs to employee-saving retirement plans is important. The 401k and other employee retirement savings plans were initially intended to supplement corporate pension plans, not replace them. Well, now you know what happened to the happy retirement. It's been replaced with the worry-filled do-it-yourself retirement. But I'm here to tell you that retiring happily ever after does still exist, and you can do it. Retirement has been studied in depth. There is near unanimity by economists as to how retirement income should be structured to give you the very best shot at happily ever after. And I'm going to share the secrets that these experts have discovered. One of the most interesting observations I've made during my study of retirement is that most of the public discourse about retirement is focused primarily on asset accumulation or building up retirement savings. Everyone is focused on their pile of money. How big can I get that pile? But there's been very little discussion about retirement income. Well, let's face it. Retirees don't live on assets. They live on income. See, your assets can be lost, they can be stolen, they can be swindled, they can be sued, they can be divorced, they can be decimated in a market crash. No, the ultimate success of your retirement is not about your assets. It's about income and risk management. Now, this is a huge paradigm shift. It goes against everything you've been doing up to this point. Let's pretend that you and your partner are now retired. You know what you need? You need a paycheck. Now, you can have that paycheck guaranteed or not guaranteed. Which would you prefer? Now, if you said guaranteed, how long do you want it guaranteed for? The rest of your life or the rest of both of your lives? If you answered guaranteed for the rest of both of your lives, you need guaranteed lifetime income. So let me ask you another question. During your working life, what day of the week did you spend the most money? What day of the week did you go golfing? You went to the hardware store, you got your nails done or your hair done? For most people, that day was Saturday. Well, guess what? The day you retire, every day is Saturday. See, you're not just going to need paychecks. You're also going to need some playchecks so that you can actually enjoy your retirement. And I'm going to tell you how to get them. With my 7 steps to retirement security, you will develop a retirement plan. You're going to enjoy more Social Security benefits. You're going to consider a hybrid retirement, protect your savings from inflation, secure more guaranteed retirement income, plan for long-term medical costs, and use your home equity wisely. Now, before elaborating on these 7 steps, let's review a few of the concerns and risks people face in retirement. Did you know that there are 78 million baby boomers approaching retirement age? This represents 26% of the United States population. You're not alone. Many baby boomers and many of the rest of you will enter retirement with nowhere near enough money. For whatever reason, your life took an unexpected turn and you find yourself in your 50s or 60s with very little to retire on. However, that does not mean it is too late to enjoy retirement. I'm going to show you some of the 21st century solutions people are using to eliminate the fear of not having enough money for their retirement. It will not be easy, but the actual case of a 57-year-old woman with more guaranteed lifetime income than she ever had while she was working may convince you that it is within your reach. Another concern that people have is living longer. People are living longer than ever before. The life expectancy of a 65-year-old male is age 85. For a 65-year-old female, it's age 88. But here's an interesting fact. Married people live longer than single people. I have no idea why a couple's life expectancy becomes age 92, but it is a fact. There is even a 25% chance that one spouse will live to be 97, and many of you reading this book and listening to this audiobook will live to be age 100. Although everyone wants to live a long life, longevity is not just a risk. It's a risk multiplier of all the other risks in retirement. See market risk, withdrawal rate risk, sequence of returns risk, inflation, deflation, increasing taxes, long-term care. Longevity risk is hands down the number one risk in retirement. See, the longer you live, the more likely the market will crash. The longer you live, the more likely you'll withdraw too much money. The longer you live, the more likely inflation will decimate your purchasing power. The longer you live, the more likely you'll need long-term care. So to retire successfully, you must take longevity risk off the table. And I'm going to show you exactly how to do that. After 2008 and 2009, I think everyone understands market risk. The market was sliced in half. For many people, it happened right before they were going to retire. And to make things worse, many people lost money on the way down, then they got out at the bottom, and they never rode the market back up to the new highs today. What people don't understand is that when you lose money may be more important than how much you lose. Let's take a look at an example. Let's take Jim. Jim invested 50% in stocks and 50% in bonds over a 22-year period of time. Although the market went up and down, the portfolio averaged 10.1% a year for 22 years. His initial $100,000 investment grew to be worth $846,000. And even if we ran the numbers backwards from 1995 to 1973, he still averaged 10.1% a year and he wound up happy. This is the way many people, especially stockbrokers, think the markets work. Markets go up and down, but over time they always go up. Now, while that is true when you are a saver and an investor, it is not true the day you retire and start taking money out of a portfolio. Let me show you. Now let's take Bill, who invested identically to Jim, 50% stock, 50% bonds, 10.1% average return over 22 years. However, Bill retired that first year, and his broker told him he could withdraw 5% per year. Well, if he averaged 10.1% a year for 22 years, he could certainly withdraw just 5%, right? Wrong. He ran out of money. But here's why. Once you start withdrawing money from a portfolio, average returns mean nothing. It is the order or sequence of those returns that matters. See, if you lose money early in retirement, it can devastate you. If you lose money later in life, it has much less of an impact. In these examples, the market went down in the first 3 years. That didn't matter to Jim, since over a 22-year period of time, he still averaged 10.1%. But Bill withdrew money each year, and that money could never grow back. His portfolio never recovered because he was liquidating more and more shares to provide the money that he needed in retirement. Take a look at this chart. Both of these portfolios have identical average returns. What's the only difference? Well, the dark line lost money early in retirement, which devastated their retirement. The lighter line shows money lost later in retirement, and it had much less of an impact. For this reason, the riskiest time to invest is not when you are 87, as many people believe. It is when you are 57 or 67. See, losing money right before or right after retirement can devastate your entire retirement. That is why it is so important to have some guarantees in your portfolio. Another devastating risk is inflation, the silent thief. Over time, it can wipe out purchasing power. Then there's deflation, which is not even on the radar of many Americans. Think about what happened to the housing market over the past 5 or 6 years. In many parts of the country, there's been significant deflation. Housing prices crashed. Some of those markets are still down. Yeah, but Tom, it can't happen here. Don't be so sure. As an economics major, I get why everyone is so worried about inflation and hyperinflation. The United States has printed trillions of dollars of money. Normally, every time you print a dollar, the value of all the other dollars goes down. We are over $17 trillion in debt, climbing at $2 to $3 billion every single day, and we're still printing over $1 billion every day with a goal to taper to zero by the end of 2014. If you do the math, that doesn't work out well over the long term. So why has the dollar not plummeted? Because we're not the only ones in debt, and we're not the only ones printing money. Europe's in debt, and Europe's printing. Greece is insolvent. Now, Japan has even a higher debt to GDP than Greece, so some might say that Japan is also insolvent and they're printing money faster than we are. China's in debt, China's printing, so how does our printing factor out with their printing and their printing and their printing and their printing? Well, somebody smarter than me is going to have to figure that one out, but I'll tell you this. We have never seen a world where governments were in debt over $52 trillion like they are today. Okay, so there's a lot of debt. So what? Well, when you're in debt, eventually you have to get out of debt. I'll bet some of you have been in this situation. You've had credit card debt or student loans. When you are paying off your debt, what aren't you doing with your money? You're not spending it. You're not saving it. See, paying off debt is very hard on an economy. So how does a government get out of debt? Well, there are three ways. We normally only hear about two of them, raise taxes and cut spending. The third is growth. What happens to an economy when you raise taxes and cut spending? It is highly deflationary, not inflationary. Getting out of debt this way is called deleveraging. So be on the lookout for tax hikes and spending cuts in the world's future. This will significantly limit growth and may even prevent growth for decades. $1 trillion by the numbers. Most people don't know what $1 trillion is. After all, it rhymes with million and it rhymes with billion. Well, here's a very simple way to understand how much $1 trillion is. If $1 equals 1 second, $1 million would be about 11 and a half days. $1 billion would be 32 years, and $1 trillion would be 32,000 years. Isn't that incredible? 32,000 years. The next problem is demographics. What happens economically when a country gets old? Their spending goes off a cliff. Just think about it. After age 50, the kids typically move out, at least for a couple months, and your spending starts going down, and you will typically spend less each year for the rest of your life. This reduction in spending is deflationary, not inflationary. In Japan, they now sell more adult diapers and baby diapers. And those 78 million baby boomers in the United States, they're all over age 50 now, and they're going to be spending less and less and less every year for the rest of their lives, as will in aging Europe and Japan. One of the brilliant demographers of our time is a gentleman by the name of Harry Dent. Now, granted, he is controversial and he's predicted some things that have not come true, but as a demographer, I find his work second to none. Want to get some chills sent up your spine? Read Harry's book, The Demographic Cliff, on the coming economic winter. This massive debt, the inevitable deleveraging that must occur, and the aging of the entire world means that deflation, not inflation, may become a common part of your vocabulary. My whole life, I believe Milton Friedman, who is a Nobel Peace Prize winning economist, when he said that inflation is always and everywhere a monetary event, meaning that inflation is caused by the printing of money. I believed that for 50 years. I don't believe it anymore. Harry Dent says that inflation is a demographic event. Young countries experience inflation. Old countries experience deflation. Wow, another paradigm shift. See, this explains how we have printed trillions of dollars, yet remain in a low interest rate, low inflation rate environment. It is because America and much of the developed world is getting older. Look, I can't predict the future better than any of you. My best advice is to watch the bond market, because the bond market predicts the future every single day. As I am writing this, the 30-year U.S. government bond is paying about 3.25%. So what is the bond market predicting? The odds of any inflation or hyperinflation in this country over the next 30 years is almost nothing. You would not lock up your money at 3.25% for 30 years if you thought there was going to be significant inflation or hyperinflation. Look, Ben Bernanke, the guy running those printing presses in Washington, D.C. for the past decade, recently spoke at some dinners for the rich and famous. Did you catch what he said? He said that interest rates are unlikely to go over 4% for the rest of our lives. Why? Because of the deflationary pressures of debt, deleveraging, and demographics. At least consider the risk of deflation. I will show you ways to take it off the table as well. Another monster risk in retirement is long-term care, because it can literally wipe out your entire retirement. I've again dedicated an entire chapter to this risk, but here's a preview. No retirement plan is complete without a plan for long-term care. A couple of other risks are taxation and regulatory risk. Now, I will do my best to give you some advice, but even Tommy can't control these risks. The government does what the government does, and the best we can do is elect leaders and representatives who have the country's best interests in mind. Well, that sounds easy, but as we've seen over the past decades, it can be very difficult. Longevity risk, market risk, debt, demographics, long-term care, taxes, regulatory risk. There are many risks concerning us as we face retirement. When you consider the millions of people approaching retirement who are not able to save as much as they had hoped, it is easy to see why so many Americans are worried about their retirement. Wouldn't it be great if the schools taught you how to secure your retirement? Well, don't you worry. Think of this book and audiobook as your retirement guide. In this book, I'm going to address these risks, and you will learn that retiring well does not have to be a fairy tale. Don't worry, retire happy.